I remember Graydon Holden had shared a message a few years ago, and it was based upon a song based upon the Word of God. And that is, when you don't understand with your mind, trust Him with your heart. When you don't understand with your mind, trust His heart. You know, sometimes we do things too that may be confusing to others, or others may not understand, why did you do that, or why did you think that way, or why are you seeing it that way, right? But we have to look to the heart of the matter here, because God's ways are not our ways. How many of you have realized that already? You're not going to figure out God 100%, all right? But if you know the heart of God through relationship, then you know that God is truly good. It's not just a cliche. It's a reality. God is good. And He's good all the time. So I trust His heart. When I don't understand why things happen, even bad things that happen to good people, we know that God's heart is good. We live in an evil, sin-sick, fallen world. And Jesus Christ came to redeem us out of that and bring us into His glorious kingdom and give us an inheritance with Him. Amen. Salvation has come. The light has come. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus Christ. And He is the way to the Father. He is the truth. He is the life. And so we need to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, right? 5-7. With all of our heart, and lean not on our own understanding. You know, sometimes presidents do things that we're scratching our heads over. Okay, why did he do that, or why did he say that? And sometimes, you know, they may say something that may even appear to be stupid. But sometimes people say things that appear to be stupid, but they're actually very calculating in what they're saying. Because we don't actually understand everything that's going on. Our media is very good at presenting the image that they want us to believe is reality. Amen? So they have a narrative that they repeat over and over and over again until people start actually believing a lie. I'm not saying all media is bad, but a lot of our media is. It's no longer reporting the news. It's a propaganda machine. And they have an agenda to bring us under world socialism and to take away our sovereignty and our freedoms and our rights as citizens of a sovereign nation. Now, I'm not here to preach politics today, but politics and the Lord are very much connected. Would you say amen to that? Because it's the Lord who ordains all authority. And He is going to come, and He is going to put down all rule and all authority, and He'll establish His throne in Jerusalem, and He shall reign over all the earth. There will be true justice. Amen. There will be peace on earth and goodwill towards men when the Prince of Peace returns. Man is trying to negotiate peace. And how has that worked for all these thousands of years? Man, independent of his creator, is lost and blind and incapable of governing himself correctly. When we're born again, we receive the Spirit of the Lord. We receive a teacher. We receive someone who then begins to reveal to us who we are, who He is in us, and what our purpose is in this world. And we begin to live with purpose. But apart from Him, apart from the Creator, we can't know that. We just blindly try to navigate in the dark, stumbling around, grasping for anything that looks like light. Are you hearing me? Jesus came to reveal to us the truth, to bear witness to the truth. And Jesus says, I am the truth. And what is truth? Pilate asked Him, remember, what is truth? And Jesus says, well, He's standing in front of you. Truth is a person. Truth is what's real. Truth is what's authentic. Truth is what's really real. Amen? So truth remains. If you jump off a 10-story building, you're going to fall hard. Amen? You're probably not going to make it. Why? Because the truth is there are laws of gravity. That doesn't change. Well, I don't happen to agree with that law today. Who tells me I can't jump off this 10-story building? Okay. Who says I have to stop at that red light? Nobody's going to tell me what to do, smack, you know. There's a reason why there are laws. Can you say amen? Laws are a good thing. Laws and authority is the solution to chaos. Some people, they think they want chaos. They don't want chaos. They don't want to be like some of these nations where laws completely broken down and they're running around hacking each other up with machetes. That's what happens. That's the heart of man apart from God. Amen? In a society that has completely been devoid of any kind of rule or authority, and that's what Satan's all about, he's the author of confusion. You take away the rules, amen? And what do you got? You got a mess. And how many know that God won't bless a mess? God gave us His Word to govern us, to protect us, so that we could live a blessed, happy, fulfilled life, an abundant life. How many know that God didn't give us His Word to make us miserable? Even the law was good in itself, that it had benefits if you obeyed the law. It didn't save. But the law was the least to keep people from killing each other, amen? Thou shalt not kill. So would you agree it's a good thing not to go around killing people, amen? So God says, these are the laws I've given you, Israel. I want you to obey them. I want you to pay attention to what I'm telling you. Amen? Because the law was for a season. It was for a time. And the law really was to show every individual that they're incapable of living up to God's holy standard to perfection. And so all have broken the law of God. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us broke the rules. All of us ran that red light in life. Come on, somebody. But God had a plan in place. God was going to send His Son in the likeness of fallen Adam's race, the race that we were born into, the fallen condition all of us were born into. How many would agree with me? We've been born in dysfunction. We live in a dysfunctional world because it's made up and it's filled with dysfunctional people, I being one of them. Amen. God wants to bring function back. Amen. Purpose back. So in the process of time, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Amen. To redeem, to purchase a people, to bring a people back into right relationship with Him. And He says, this is the covenant I will make with them in those days. I will put my laws in their hearts. I'll write them in their hearts and in their minds. I'll put them. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. God is saying, there's forgiveness. There's mercy. There's a new beginning. There's a clean slate. All the things that we've regretted, all the shame of the past and the bad decisions we've made and the things that we've regretted, God has already taken care of that. Hallelujah. He paid for it in full at the cross through Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down His life for you and I, that you and I could go free. Hallelujah. So He paid the price that we deserve to pay so we could go free, amen, not to live any longer in dysfunction, but to live a functional life in the will and purpose for which we were created in the first place. How many know that you and I were designed for God? We were never designed to live independent of God. That was a result of the fall. Jesus came to restore us back to relationship with the Father. And Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, to give you the kingdom. God wants to share His kingdom with us. All the glories, all the joys, all the blessings of heaven become ours in Christ Jesus. We're no longer, amen, slaves to sin, but we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's who we are in identity. We need to live from that reality, amen. When I understand who I am, I won't live dysfunctionally any longer. When I know what is true, I will no longer bow down and believe the lie. When I know what's authentic, I will know what's fake. And the way I was living, I thought was normal. But now I have a new normal. What used to be abnormal is now normal to me. What used to be normal is now abnormal. Isn't that amazing? And people who are still living an abnormal existence don't get it. They don't understand what happened to you. Why aren't you still partying like we used to party? I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding, abiding in the vine. How many know it? Abiding in the vine, abiding in the vine. Life, joy, health, peace, He has made them mine. I have prosperity, power, and victory. Abiding, abiding in the vine. Jesus Christ is the true vine, and we are the branches. And as we abide in Him, we will bear the fruit of God. Hallelujah. We'll be an expression of the Father's heart in the earth. God has called you and I to be representatives of His kingdom government. Amen? Here on the earth, we represent Him who is in heaven as the head over His body, over His church. Jesus said in John 4:23, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." How many know that we were designed to worship? Amen? To worship. And designed to worship God. And if we don't worship God, then we will worship idols. We will worship people. We will worship other things. Amen? Because that's in us to worship, we have to understand what we're worshiping, who we're worshiping, and why we're worshiping. And what does worship mean anyways? One explanation for that is it means to kiss. To worship means to kiss towards. It's as if you were to take the hand of someone and bow and kiss their hand. It's an act of adoration. Worship means adoration. Kiss the Son. It's to give God, to worship in spirit. How else do you explain it except to say it's like giving God a hug in your spirit? You open your heart to Him and you receive and welcome and embrace Him. You give God a hug in the spirit. You open up your vessel and trust Him that He will come and He will fill your life with all of His goodness. We can't give away anything that we don't have. We can't give Jesus if we don't have Jesus. Worship is key to everything good in your life. We were designed for God. We were created for Him and for His pleasure. To live a functional life is to be a worshiper of your Creator. All creation praises Him. All creation. Even Jesus said the rocks themselves will cry out. And they're discovering that even the rocks have a vibration. They're all held together by a vibration. And that vibration is the word of God's power. When God said, "Let there be," there was. And "let there be light," and then there was light. But before there was light, there was a sound of His voice. God sustains you and I even by the word of His power. So all creation is designed to worship God. And so someone that thinks that this is abnormal or that it's not, you know, something that I should be doing, or maybe they want to get carried away and they want to get excited and they want to shout to God and praise His name and do all that. Oh, I'm just not like that. You haven't discovered how good God is then. When you tasting and seeing, come on somebody, how good God is, you want more of Him. Now, all of us, most of us know what it's like to drink some wine, amen, some fine wine maybe. Boone's Farm. Oh. Mad Dog. How did that work? At the time it worked great. The next day, though. We don't need that. We don't need the inferior stuff. God says, come and dine at my table. Have some of my wine. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He will fulfill that which is lacking in you, to where you won't find satisfaction in booze or pot or drugs or anything else, even in sex. Amen? Hallelujah. You'll find a higher love. You'll find a superior reality. Only a God, amen, that can satisfy that deepest longing of my heart, that emptiness. So the enemy wants to get us to worship the creation rather than the Creator. He wants us to worship lesser things rather than the God who gave all things. Amen. God gives money, amen, to provide for us, to sustain us. But God didn't give that gift to us to, you know, that we would make a God out of that. But that we would look beyond the blessing and say, God, thank you. How can I bless somebody now? I look past the gift and I see the heart of the one who gave. Say, Father, thank you. God sent an angel to my doorstep the other day with some vitamins. You know, and he knew I was hurting, and God put it on his heart to bring some vitamins. I won't say who it is because his reward will be in heaven. Amen. But it's just listening to the voice of God, navigating by the Spirit. To be a worshiper is more than just singing songs on Sunday morning. A true worshiper is one who walks with the Lord daily, who adores Him, who delights in Him, who enjoys Him, who wants Him. Amen? How many know that God wants to be wanted? How many here have ever been in a relationship where you were madly in love with somebody, but they weren't in love with you? How did that work for you? You understand, God is madly in love with His creation. For God so loved the world. God's so in love with people. And He wants people to be with Him. He wants to forgive their sins. He's already paid the price for that. He wants people to have a new slate. I mean, a clean slate and a new beginning. And He wants to put His Spirit within us and makes us sons and daughters, new creations in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what God's heart for us. And the enemy is so slick, he's always trying to divert us. He's always trying to distract us. He's always trying to get us to worship the things that are made, including people. How many times have people put relationships, human relationships, above God? Oh, I knew God was warning me about this, but I just wanted that so badly. Deep down inside, I know God was saying, hello! No, don't do it. Oh, but I don't really want to ask God for confirmation on that word. Come on, somebody. How many know that God is smarter than we are, right? He knows what's best. Don't ever think that somehow I've got a better idea than God does. I mean, the Creator knows how the product is supposed to function, amen, and what's right for the product. If we are going to see the glory of God, the manifest presence of God, we must be a worshiper of God. If you are going to see your personal life changed, you must be a worshiper of God. Amen? If you want to see your family saved and changed, you must be a worshiper of God. If you want to see America turned around, God's people need to get back into alignment with the will of the Father and start living from heaven, amen, and get out of the chicken yard of this world. Live from heaven to earth. Discover the mind, the heart, the will of the Father. and submit yourself to God. And then as you resist the devil, he will flee from you. God wants to turn this nation around. God wants to revive America. He wants to revive His church. Amen. He wants to bring revival to the Northwest. And it's going to require you and I as His people to return to the altar and be worshipers of God. I'm not talking about just showing up on church, but I'm talking about a daily walk with God to where everything that we do, we're acknowledging Him, we're submitting to Him, we're listening to His voice, we're following Him. Amen. We're singing in our hearts and making melody to the Lord. We're being filled with His presence every day. As we worship, God begins to unveil our eyes. He begins to remove the blinders as we worship, and He begins to reveal to us His plan, His strategy, His will for our lives. The enemy wants to distract us and divert us into worshiping things that are made and esteeming temporal things above eternal things. So he can rob you of the understanding of your purpose. Oh God, I want to know your will for me. I ask you to reveal to me. You and I in the New Testament are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. Would you agree? This body is His temple now. So as His temple, I need to be very careful what I allow in this body, what I do in this body, amen, because it houses His Holy Spirit. And as a temple, the temple must be cleansed because God will not inhabit an impure temple. There are people that are pursuing power, but they're not submitting themselves to God's authority. And they're not living in purity. If you're pursuing power, but you're not living pure, you're aligning yourself with the demonic. You don't want any flies in the ointment. You don't want that anointment, amen? That anointment. That is a word, by the way. I looked it up. But the anointing, you don't want to have that tainted by flesh, amen? By worldliness. God wants His people to be pure. God wants His people to come out of the world. Yes, we're in it, but we're not of it. He wants us to be separate. Amen? And sanctified means to be set apart for Him. God, from now on, you decide. From now on, I'm going to listen to your voice. From now on, I'm going to submit to your will. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a pure vessel. Amen. I don't want anything interfering. I don't want anything tainting the flow of God's Spirit through my life. Worship brings God's glory, His manifest presence. King Uzziah, 16-year-old, teenager. Anybody 16-year-olds in here tonight or today? How old are you? Okay, this is a word from you, brother. Uzziah became a king when he was 16. Can you imagine Kurt being king at 16? I can. Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to be in a kingdom, but no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, buddy. What I love about this little brother here and Mario as well is these guys have a heart for God. They're young, but God is raising you up for your generation. King Uzziah was 16 years old, and it says, listen, guys, listen up. 2 Chronicles 26:4, and Uzziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Amaziah had done. And verse 5, it says, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I'm just repeating something that I've said over and over, but we have to look in the mirror and remind ourselves, guys, that as long as God is first, As long as I seek Him and put Him first in my life, I will prosper. It's a promise. It doesn't mean that everything will be instantaneous. It doesn't mean that you won't have your battles. Amen? But it does mean that God will fulfill His good pleasure in you. God will perform that what He set to do in your life. Amen? As he sought God, the Lord made him prosper. Now, here's a young kid, 16 years old. God gave him victory over his enemies. He made him famous. And he made this young man very strong. But when he became strong, no different today, that when we become strong, we need to really be on guard. We need to be even more humble. Because when he became strong, he no longer sought the Lord. When I am proud, I don't have a sense need for God. When I am humbled before God, I'm in a place where I realize I need Him. I need His grace. I need His mercy. I need His help every day. And when I'm in that place where I am hungry and thirsty for Him who alone can satisfy, when I'm in that place, then I am in a place to receive His provision, His grace in my life. And when I am weak in myself, not talking about weak in character, I'm just talking about weak where I'm not depending on me or trusting in me, but now I'm depending on Him and trusting in Him. But when I'm weak in me, then I am strong in the Lord. That was Paul the Apostle. When I am weak, then I am strong. Was Paul weak? Not at all. He was mighty in spirit. He was a man of great strength and character. But what he was saying is, I'm putting no confidence in myself or in my own ability to live the plan of God, the purpose of God for my life. I have to humble myself. And if you don't, God knows how to do that. So when this young man became strong, he no longer sought the Lord, and then the fear of the Lord left him and he became rebellious. He actually ended up rebelling against God. Has anybody beside myself seen that happen before? Maybe you've been one of those rebellious ones. Maybe I have. Imagine that. How many would agree with me? It's always better to say, "Yes, Lord." It always works better. Elijah was a worshiper of God, wasn't he? He was a man after God's own heart. God knew who to choose when he called these men, these prophets of old, didn't he? He knew ahead of time who they were and their character. And so he anointed them. And Elijah, being a worshiper of God, was navigating by the Spirit of the Lord. Elijah was really a type of Christ. Elijah didn't have his own agenda. Elijah, being a prophet of God, knew that he needed to get his direction from the Lord. And the Lord would direct Elijah into different times and places, and that he may not have chosen for himself, but he was obedient to submit himself to the authority of God and obey God. And so Elijah would find himself right where he needed to be. And sometimes where he needed to be was not where he would have chosen for himself. He just had the great victory on Mount Carmel, called down the fire from heaven. Amen. Next thing you know, he's running from that wicked queen Jezebel. But God had a plan even in that. How many know that an adversary is necessary in your life? It's good for you. It develops you. It causes you to go after God, to draw from God, to trust in God, to call upon Him, right? To lean on Him. So God said in 1 Kings 17:3, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So God was saying that I'm going to take care of you in the place where I told you to be. Sometimes we're not listening and we're wondering why it's not working. It's not always a geographic location. Sometimes it's a condition of my heart. That I'm being rebellious. I'm not submitting to God. I'm not doing what I know I should be doing. I'm not listening to His voice. And God says, I'm waiting for you to get that right. I'm waiting for you to repent, to turn away from that besetting sin. I'm even waiting for you to forsake that idol. That was a good thing, but you've made it into a god in your life, and it's more important to you than the Lord. Isn't it interesting that today, I never thought we'd see the day, and I'm not opposed to football, but guys, when you shut down a service, a gathering of God's people to celebrate the Super Bowl, there's a problem. It's an idol. It's become an idol. And so God is saying, I want you to get things right with me. I want you to start submitting yourself, listening to my voice. If I say no, it's no. If I say yes, it's yes. And when you start cooperating with the Holy Spirit, you'll find that you will be in the will of God. You will discover the will of God, and you will live out the purpose of God for your life. But if you're not willing to submit yourself to God, then there's no way you're going to be able to defeat your enemies. You see, worshipers are those who defeat their enemies. Worshipers of God are overcomers. Worshipers of God are those who live a victorious life. I'm not saying a life without struggle. I'm saying that you will have victory if you are a worshiper of God. Why? Because it's normal to worship God. We were designed to worship God. That's our purpose. What does that mean? It means to kiss doors. It means to delight in. It means to submit to. So when I obey the Lord, amen, when I listen to His voice, when I bless others, when I give, when I sing praises to Him, amen, when I give thanks to Him, when I love my neighbor, amen, this is an act of worship towards God. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. When you go to your work, amen, you go as an act of worship unto God. You're working not unto the man, but you're working as unto the Lord. Amen? And if you're living for God, and you're living for God, even your employer will be delighted in you. If you're living for God, that means that you're going to be a trustworthy, hardworking, dependable employee. Amen? And your boss will say, hey, I kind of like this guy or this gal, right? Time for a promotion. You see, the enemy has convinced many people that worshiping God is just something you do on a Sunday morning when you get together and sing some songs. That's worshiping, yes, but that's not all of it. He wants to separate, you see, the sacred from the secular. In the sense that, well, I do my Jesus thing here. I have my devotion. I have my church. I do my stuff. Amen? But now I'm in the world, and the world is evil. The world is irrelevant. Anything I do in the world doesn't really matter. You see, that's what John was dealing with the early church. The Gnostics were teaching that anything that was natural or physical was evil. That's what Gnosticism teaches. So it was a total like super spiritualism where everything was spiritual. Oh, I don't need to work because I'm just spiritual and I'm depending on God. Amen. To rain money down into my lap. How many know that God says you're supposed to work? But when you work, it's an act of worship. And if you work as unto the Lord receives that as worship, and the Lord delights in that. And you know what He does? He breathes His blessings upon you. Hallelujah. Christians should be the most integrous, the most upright, the most responsible, the most dependable. Because we're representing our Father in heaven. Amen? As we worship, just as Elijah waited on the Lord, he gave him assignments. And he provided for him in the place where he told him to be. If God has been speaking to you about something, I would encourage you to start listening. Don't do one of these days things. You want to know why? Because God gives a window of opportunity. He gives a season of opportunity in your life to listen to his voice. And there comes a time when that opportunity closes. So to think that, well, one of these days I'll get right with God. One of these days I'll start listening to the Lord. See, a lot of people miss the will of God because of complacency, because of procrastination, because they don't listen to his voice. Jesus says you need to be like a servant who's got his loins girt about him. And when he gets the command, he's ready to run. Are you hearing me? We're in a race. There's no time to sit on the sidelines. You need to get in to the Spirit of God. Amen. Discover the heart, the will, the purpose of God, and be about the Father's business. Because we have a season or a window of opportunity. And one of these days will be the last day. One of these days, the Lord will close the door of the ark, Christ Jesus. And those who had heard the call, and those who had been invited, and those who had refused, and those who had said, well, the world is more important to me than the will of God. There'll be many who will knock and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say yes. As it was in the days of Noah, many procrastinated. Many probably just, they either didn't believe or they thought, well, one of these days I'll join Noah and his family about the business of God and building the ark to the saving of their family. But the day came when God says, time is up. God is merciful. God is long-suffering. He is so patient with us. He gives us opportunity after opportunity, but God also has a limit. The day of grace will close, folks. Right now we're living in the time of God's grace. Now is an acceptable time to turn to God. You want to meet with God? You want to know God's will for you? Be a worshiper. Open your heart to him. Give God a hug. Open wide the floodgates. Amen? Just say, Lord, fill me up. Embrace him. Trust him with your heart. God's not going to give you a demon. Amen? Open your heart to him. Call on him. Wait on him. Seek after him. And if you seek him with all your heart, he says, I will be found of you. God will reveal himself to those who pursue him, who seek him. We live in a microwave society. We live in an instant satisfaction, gratification society today. If it didn't happen right away, it ain't going to happen. How many know that something that is worth something is worth waiting for and contending for and pressing in for? Amen. We need to press into God. We need to be like that woman with the issue of blood who crawled her way through the crowd so she could touch the hem of Jesus' garment, because she knew if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be made well. We need to be tenacious like Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of God till the break of day and would not let him go until the Lord blessed him. And the day came, amen, the time came when the daybreak came and he touched him, amen. Yes, he had a daily reminder of that encounter, didn't he? God, what he did is he wounded him in his flesh. He made him to a place where he was going to have to depend, amen, not just on himself anymore. But he was going to learn how to rely upon God. God had to take Peter, amen, through the paces. He had to take him through the difficulties, amen, to where Peter had to learn that in himself he did not possess what it took to live out the will of God for his life. So Peter says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But Peter, I prayed that wouldn't happen. No, that's not what he said. He said, Peter, I just prayed that your faith wouldn't fail. And when you are converted, then you will strengthen your brother. You know what? God knows what it takes for us, amen, to get us to a place to where now we can be user-friendly. Now we can be yielded. Now we can be submitted. Now we can say, okay, Lord, now you decide. I'm ready to go with you. I'm done with my ways. I'm ready for yours now. I'm done with my will. I'm ready for yours. What do you have? Because what God has for you is superior to what you think you want for you. Every time God has said me, told me, I get rid of that thing in your life, and I balked that, I fought against that, but when I've obeyed God and said, okay, Lord, you want this out of my life, I got rid of that thing, and it was like a weight that came off. Amen? And God replaced that with Him. How many know that you need to exchange the inferior for the superior? If God says no, He knows what's best. As long as we seek the Lord, we will also prosper. Hear me. It may not happen overnight, but as you pursue God, He's going to bring everything into your life that you have need of. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. And God said, I'll add to you all these things that you have need of. You're not going to be worried. You're not going to be stressed out about anything. Because when you're walking with the Lord, you have a confident assurance. When you're walking with the Lord, you have peace. Amen? That it's going to be okay. You have peace that it is well with my soul. God's got it. I don't understand it, but I trust His heart. Oh yeah, you know, sometimes we go through times and people get sick or things happen. I got sick recently. And we start asking the questions, oh God, what did I do? What sin did I commit? And then other well-meaning saints, he must have some sin in his life and get sick like that. Well, I hope not. And if I do, I want the Lord to be the one to tell me about it. Amen? But you know what the Lord is showing me is that we're learning to empathize. It's a lesson in empathy. When you go through a difficult time, when you've got to face a giant, amen, in your life, it's good for you. Because on the other side of that is a promotion. When you go through a valley, amen, there's a mountain up ahead. When the Israel had wandered in the wilderness and they came to the waters of Marah and the waters, they were so thirsty. And they said, oh, finally, water, water. And they went to drink the water and the water was bitter. Ever been in a place where you've been going through it for a long season and all of a sudden you think, oh, there's a breakthrough, and you get to the breakthrough and it's not a breakthrough. It's more misery. But then, what they didn't understand until later is that God had something up ahead. Elim, a place of refreshing for them. And it enhanced the blessing. When you've had to wait for something, it enhances the blessing when you receive it. It increases your gratitude when you've had to wait for something. We also learn that God is faithful, even when I don't understand why. If you're facing a giant, if you're facing difficulties in your life, it's not a bad thing. If you're a child of God, you need to understand that this is part of the portion, amen, of our cup. We've got to drink in this world. There will be difficulties. There will be sorrows. There will be heartache. There will be disappointments. But you've heard it said before that disappointments are God's appointments, and that's exactly what it was. Is even though Israel had been disappointed, thinking that they finally came to a place of refreshing and it wasn't, God had something up ahead that was superior to what they thought they had there. You know what? Our understanding is limited. Our imagination is limited. Our ability to conceive what God has is limited. So when God shows up, when God moves, it blows our mind. It was beyond and above and beyond what I could even conceive in my mind and my imagination. How many know what I'm talking about? When you've waited for something and finally that breakthrough comes, it's always like better than you thought. So hang in there. Amen. God's got this. He's got this thing covered. All you need to do, call upon Him and remind Him of His promises. Amen. Not that God doesn't remember, but God wants you to remember before Him. To say, Lord, I thank You that You are my provider, and as my provider, You're going to take care of my needs. And I thank You today for tomorrow's bread. Amen? That's it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Thank Him today for tomorrow. Amen? That tomorrow's bread will be taken care of too. God will take care of me because He's with me. I'm His son. He's for me. And you too. Now, when we worship, hallelujah, blessed be Your name. Glory to Your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. When we worship in the Spirit, amen. When we pray in tongues, amen. Hallelujah. And we're given praise and adoration to God, hallelujah. It takes us beyond ourselves. It gets us out of ourselves and into His glory. Out of me and into His presence. And God is trying to teach us that I want you to abide in that secret place with me. I want you to abide in that place where there is peace for your soul. Amen? You'll find rest for your soul in me. You're stressed out. You're worried. You've been fearful. Well, come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Hook up with me. Yoke up with me. We're going to do this thing together. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. We're going to do this thing together. We're going to see the end of this together. Hallelujah. And what I have for you is way beyond what you think you want for you. Are you willing to let God have what you want for you so you can have what He wants for you? Do I need to say that again? Are you willing to let God have what you want for you so you can have what He wants for you? Are you willing to give Him the fishes and loaves of this temporary life so that you can have an abundant welcome into heaven someday? Come on, living for eternity. Soon and very soon, Jesus is coming. He will come. The day of building will be over. The day of the building up of the body of Christ will finish. And the Lord will come to be glorified in His people. He has been waiting for His church. He's been waiting for His bride, His people, a long time. And that day will come to a close when He will return for His people. Once that day comes, there will be no time to go back. Are you hearing me? And to make amends, to forgive others, to make peace with God. Today is the day of salvation. Get it right now. Get into agreement. Get into alignment with God's will. Know that He has something far better. I've got one more to go. Solomon, I love this. Solomon had completed the temple, the physical temple that he made for God on the earth. Amen? That temple was only a type of Christ and His body. Are you hearing me? How many know that you don't go to church because God lives in a church building? Amen? God lives in His temple, which is His people. And we gather together in His name in a building. And so God told Solomon how to erect this magnificent temple. He'd given him instructions as how it was to be built because it was to give a picture of Jesus Christ and His bride. There was three chambers in that temple. Today, you and I are also tripartite. You are a amen, a spirit and a soul and a body. And so there's three chambers. And in the most inner court, the Holy of Holies, is where God's Shekinah glory dwelt in that temple on the earth. Today, God does not dwell in temples made by hands, but where? In the hearts of his people, to where we have communion with God in the Spirit. And those are the ones the Father's looking for, are those who will worship him, what? In spirit and in truth. To give God a hug, to open up, amen, and give God the whole offering of thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. Hallelujah. What we're doing is we're seeding the cloud. Amen. We're offering up praise. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 11 says, continue to cast your bread upon the water, and after many days it will come back to you. All right, what is he saying? Keep on sowing in the Spirit. Keep on praying in the Spirit. Keep on giving thanks and giving praise to God in the Spirit. Keep on obeying God, all right, in the Spirit. Because in due season and the appointed season of God, that which you have invested, that which you have sown, will come back to you. God will not forget your labor of love. God is faithful, amen, to his people. And God wants to share his kingdom with you. So God gives you and I the opportunity to partner with him in this ministry and be a part of what he's doing in the earth today, and also be a partaker, amen, of the divine nature. And one day when we see Jesus, to enter into the glory of the Lord, hallelujah, and to the reward that God has for those who have been faithful to him now. Those who have sown their lives for Jesus now will find it in eternity. Are you hearing me? Or it'll be forever settled in heaven. No thief can break in and steal. Moth and rust cannot corrupt. Amen. Reserved in the heaven for you. Solomon finishes the temple. They offer sacrifices. Here it is. What are the sacrifices of God today? Thanksgiving and praise to God. Hallelujah. How about offering my body as a living sacrifice? Giving myself back to God. How can I love God back? Amen. That's a sacrifice that God accepts. A person that has a yielded heart and a willing heart to allow his Spirit to possess them and work through their lives. God delights in the one who delights in him. And so after they had given these sacrifices and the priests had worshipped first in private, the musicians and singers, they lifted up their voices and instruments with praise and thanksgiving. And it says that the glory of the Lord filled the house of the temple. 2 Chronicles 5:13, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one accord, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. Cloud, the manifest presence of God on the earth. How many are hungry for the presence of God? I want the glory, amen. I want the glory cloud. I want the tangible, manifest presence of God, amen. Because in that glory realm, that's when healing, signs and wonders and miracles break out. Sovereignly, God begins to touch people and heal people. Nobody has to lay hands on them. You and I have an anointing from God. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But when we get into the glory realm, hallelujah, and God begins to break out, people are getting healed right where they're sitting, hallelujah. Let us not be satisfied, all right, with just what we're used to. God has much more. He has much more for us. Are we willing to seek him, that we might find him? Are we willing to get to the place where we're knocking on the door, say, God, I'm not going to stop knocking until you bless me. I'm not going to stop knocking until you deal with this giant or this problem, man. Are you hearing me? God, I'm not going to stop knocking until that addiction is destroyed in my life, until that addiction is broken in my family, amen. I'm not going to stop knocking until my family is healed and restored. I'm not going to stop knocking until the miracle comes. If I have to crawl in my way through a crowd to touch the hem of His garment, I'm going to do it. Amen? Bearing the reproach of those naysayers that say, oh, they're getting ridiculous. Oh, you don't have to get that carried away. You don't have to shout and praise like that. Remember David who danced before the Lord and he said, I'll be even more undignified than this. He didn't care what man thought. He was doing it unto the Lord and not unto man. We need to pursue the Lord, seek the Lord, draw near to the Lord. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. Let me say it again. In His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. God is joy. God is pleasurable. God is the Most High. And we have been given the privilege and opportunity to come before His throne of grace because of what Jesus did at the cross by the blood. Come confidently. Seek, and you'll find. It says, if a man had buried treasure in a field, sold everything he had, so he could buy that field. So he could get to that treasure. Are you hearing me? God has treasure that we don't know of. He has glory that we've never experienced, never tasted yet. And He's inviting His church to come back to their first love. Come back to that place where you were passionate and pursuing His heart, His presence. And you wanted God more than anything else. You didn't care about anything. You didn't care about the opinions of men. You just cared about what God cared about. So often we're so shaken by little petty things. Oh, what will people think? Oh, you don't want to get that carried away. People may think you're strange. Well, I used to be like them. And I used to think that was normal. Now I know it's abnormal. So we need some people out here, amen, living a normal life in an abnormal world. Don't marvel if people don't understand, they don't get you, it doesn't matter. There was a time when I didn't get them either. All those creepy Christians. What God's looking for is authentic Christians. We don't need great church services, we need great Christians. We can have great church services, but folks, if we're not great Christians, if we're not filled with the power of God, amen, and manifesting Christ in every place, all we're doing is showing up and having a little hour of whatever here, amen. But the world continues to go down the sewer. But God has called us to a rescue mission. God has called us to reach out to a lost and dying world. God has called us to be salt and light, not to be in bed with the world, but to come out of it and reach out our hand and help people out of that pit. You don't have to get in the pit with them. You get out of that pit, amen, and then you reach out and you help them out. God's calling us to repentance. I'm finished with this. Ephesians 6:10. How many know it very well? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's a sermon right there. Be strong in the Lord. It didn't say be strong in your self-confidence. Be strong in Him. Having your confidence in Him. And in the power, the dunamis, of His might, we need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemings of the devil. There's no way we can defeat our adversary unless we are worshipers of God. Have you ever noticed the devil wants to attack your prayer life? The devil wants to stop you from praying? The devil wants to convince you that it's not that important? The devil wants to tell you, oh, you don't need to pray that much. A little lay me down to sleep prayer would be fine. And that's exactly what's happening. I'm laying me down to sleep. God wants His church to be raised up. He wants to resurrect His church. He wants to bring His church into full flame again. To be on fire for Jesus Christ again. Come on, somebody. Lord, send the fire. Oh, we bless You, we praise You, we worship You, we exalt You. Almighty God. Let your kingdom come in. Let your will, Lord, let the breath of God breathe upon us right now. With the wind of your Spirit, come now, Lord God, and breathe upon the dry bones, God. God, I pray for resurrection power to come in, to come in to me, to come into us, God, to resurrect and to awaken, awaken, awaken your bride. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah. Let God arise. Let God arise. And His enemies be scattered.